the Lord's dealing in my heart with this thought that we find in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. If you would, stand with me just in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place." And I just now realized, looking at the scripture, sometimes I miss things. But this is right after Jesus had said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Mary's chosen the good part, and it's not going to be taken away from her." It seems to me like that maybe, Brother Steve, one of his disciples is realizing here, this is a pretty good part. This thing of praying, this thing of getting alone with God. And so that disciple, when Jesus finished praying, and I like what it said, a certain place. So it must be a place where they knew that he went there. Another scripture said oft or often. And the Bible said, when he ceased or when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Sometimes there's a little bit added to this, and at least in thought, where people are thinking along the lines, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And that's not what the text said. It said, "Teach us to pray." Now, Jesus is going to give us a model prayer after that, and starting in verse number 2. And that's not where I'm going today. I'm not saying I won't go there later. I don't know how God's going to deal. But he's worked in my heart to say, "Lord, teach us to pray." How many would like to see the power of God fall in this place? "Lord, teach us to pray." How many would like to see your loved ones saved by the grace of God? "Lord, teach us to pray." How many would like to see our country turn back to the God of our fathers? "Lord, teach us to pray." I'd like to see sin called sin again. Wouldn't you? Oh, man, I tell you, they've doctored sin up. It almost looks like it's drinking Kool-Aid now. They made sin sweet. Sin's not sweet. "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, in these verses here following, there's the model prayer, you would say. But we're going to spend some time this Lord's Day in John chapter 17. That's Jesus praying. He's actually talking to the Father in John 17. And I pray God will help us to glean some truths here from this chapter. You can be seated. Please pray for us and pray with us. Father, thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to be in the house of God, have a Bible that we know, Lord, is accurate, trustworthy, right. We can open this morning and know that, Lord, the word of the Lord has been tried. And, Lord, we know that the word of God is pure. We pray, Lord, that you'd take this old book this morning and speak to our hearts. And, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we'd leave here saying, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us, our Lord. Teach us how to deny ourselves something, Lord, that we love or we like really well, and just to pray. Teach us, our Lord, the importance of prayer. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen and amen." The Bible said, let me just say this at the onset of the message, that in one place said, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." I believe that goes for saints and sinners alike. I believe when the saints of God are living and they have unconfessed sin in their life and they know there's something there going on that's displeasing to God and they refuse to deal with it, I believe that's, the old timers used to say it like this, the heavens become brass. It's like when you pray, they're just bouncing off. They're not going anywhere. The prayers are not going anywhere. They really don't look forward to that time with God in prayer, because there's something between you and him. And oh, what a blessing it is to have the channel opened up. Have nothing between you and your Lord. And to know when you bow your knee and bow your head and bow your heart that there's a God in heaven that's listening to your prayer. The Bible said over in the John, 1 John, that if we know that we have that he heareth us, we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. I want us to look and examine John chapter 17. This has been just boiling in my heart now, and I want to try to be a blessing today. I want to give you, as Jesus starts praying here, there's 26 verses. It's not a real long chapter. And by the way, I believe sometimes there's a mistake made in putting emphasis on the length of the prayer. When Peter stepped out of that boat, he prayed, Lord, save me. It didn't take him all day to pray, say amen. And so Jesus is 26 verses. I didn't time it to see how long it would take, but depending on our reading level, it couldn't take over 4 or 5 minutes to read John chapter 17. Jesus is praying here, and this is the literal words of the Lord Jesus. And in verse number 1, he said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. Well, that right there knocks a lot of form in the head, because a lot of people think that you got to have your eyes closed and your head bowed to pray. But Jesus has lifted up his eyes. I tell you what, old Stephen did. He lifted up his eyes, didn't he? I tell you something, Brother Joe, if we get in touch with God, we might see something if we lift up our eyes. Something besides the clouds. Something besides the sun. Something besides the stars. God might give us a glimpse of glory. Say amen. The Word of God said he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, he started talking. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Let's start right there with these verses this morning and talk about this thing of, Lord, teach us to pray. There's some elements in this prayer of Jesus that I want to look at. The first element that I want to look at is the element of peace. What I'm trying to get across this morning is that Jesus starts out in verse number 1, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Many times in the Word of God, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Jesus would say, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. Jesus knew that he wasn't going to die until it was time for him to die. But what I want you to see in this prayer is this. He's facing the cross. He's facing the whipping post. He's facing the Garden of Gethsemane, where his sweat would become as great drops of blood. He's facing being separated from his Father, but he's got a peace that passes all understanding, because he's a man of prayer. He's a man that's in constant contact with his Father. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I don't mean this in a critical way. I mean it for me as well as you. It would behoove us not to wait on an urgent circumstance to get the channel open. We can have peace, beloved, in the midst of the storm. We can have peace knowing the storm's coming, knowing the storm's going, or standing right in the middle of the storm. We can have the peace of God in our heart and in our life. Someone said peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but it's rather the confidence that he is there in the midst of the trouble with you always. Amen. We had the privilege to visit with Brother Mitchell Thursday week ago. And I can tell you this, The man is full of peace. He's facing an uncertain circumstance. He's facing a sickness. And beloved, listen, I'm glad, thank God, that when we have that prayer life, that God can give us peace in the midst of it all. Amen. That we can talk to him. The three Hebrew children, when they were getting ready to be cast into the furnace, they weren't learning how to pray then. They said to old Nebuchadnezzar, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, now listen, our God's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, there's something you need to know, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow, amen, to the gods of this world. Oh, I say hallelujah. Listen, when they threatened old Daniel and said, Daniel, you know, they had to make up something against him because they couldn't find anything against his character. And when they threatened him, I want you to know Daniel opened his window three times a day, just like he did, I love this word, a four time. He wasn't waiting on a decree. He wasn't waiting on an urgent moment or an urgent matter. He just kept praying like he always did. God gave him a peace. Never shall forget Brother Mays years ago. He had such a way of saying things. He said, I believe old Daniel said, come here, Leo. I need a pillar. Amen. You say, preacher, do you really believe those stories in the Bible? Honey, if I didn't, I wouldn't be standing here. I can tell you that right now. And a lot of people make a mistake. I won't pick at it, but listen, I'll say this. A lot of people call it the lion's den. The Bible said it was a den of lions. You can get in a lion's den without any lions, amen. But there was a den of lions, and Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, and God, the God of heaven, caused him that. Listen, let me tell you something right now. You might have somebody eating your lunch in this world. You might have an enemy, but God can give a lion locked jaw, and he can give a man locked jaw too. Say amen. Shut the mouths of the enemy. There's a peace. Jesus is starting out his prayer right here. He said, Father, I know. My hour's come. Let me tell you something right now. There's people preaching a so-called gospel. I said a so-called gospel. That if you get saved, you live right, and you pray right, you'll never have any trouble. I'm telling you, that's a lie out of hell. Beloved, listen, that's a lie out of hell. I've read about too many men. Ask Paul and Silas down there. Ask Paul, listen, the Word of God tells us over there in the end of Paul's life, when he's getting ready to depart, the time of my departure is at hand. But he had a peace that passes all understanding. What a blessing, the element of peace. Matthew Henry said, peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it except truth. In other words, Matthew Henry said, I wouldn't trade the truth for peace, but he said, it's such a precious jewel. I want to tell you something tonight. I can remember, you know, the folks down in the shore right now and even inland are experiencing great flooding from the hurricane. And we know that there are a lot of people in trouble and a lot of people are being rescued. Several people have lost their lives. Thank God not as many as could have. It looked like most of the people listened and got out. But I'm going to tell you, there was years ago, there was a storm came by down there where we live. It was a tornado. And I'm telling you, beloved, they were advertising. I went out on the front porch. We hadn't lived there long. And I went out on the front porch, and it concerned me. I had my wife and my children in the basement. You say, preacher, why? Because that's what you're supposed to do if there's a chance of a tornado. You're supposed to get low, get out of sight, amen, if you can, because it can rip the home right off the foundation. And I went out on the porch, Brother Ralph, so help me. And it was calm. It was that scary calm that they talk about. And I said, Lord, my family belongs to you. I said, this house belongs to you. Whatever, God, you want to do, that's fine with me. I said, Lord, it belongs to you. I cannot explain the peace that I had in my heart. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you walk with God and you talk with God, you'll enjoy a peace that this world doesn't know anything about. I'm afraid you'll enjoy a peace that many of God's people don't know anything about. They're tore out of the frame day after day after day. The least little thing upsets them and knocks them off course. And I'm telling you, beloved, teach us to pray. There'll be an element of peace when God teaches you to pray. And then, not only that, but look at verse number 2. Not only is there an element of peace, but thank God there's an element of power. Watch what the Bible said, as thou hast given him power. Let me just say something to you this morning. Listen, we're not living in the apostolic age. We're not living in, God gave the Jews, he gave them signs, he gave them sign gifts. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me ask a question. How many of you know someone, you know for sure, that they had power with God in prayer? How many know somebody like that? Dear sister over in Wise, Granny Holyfield, she lived, I think, to be 103, didn't she, Miss Eve? 103, her daughter's name was Sarah. Sarah was crippled with arthritis until she played the piano, and I don't know how. Her hands were just crippled up with arthritis. Her feet turned the wrong way. She was just very, very crippled up. I remember going over there one day, and they had one of them old-timey beds. It seemed like a mattress was about that high, and I'm 6 foot, and I'd had to jump up on it to get up on it. And she said, "Preacher, can you help us?" I'm talking about an antique bed. I'm talking about a bed God only knows what it was worth. Amen. I said, "Yeah, I can help you." I said, "Are you sure you want to do that?" Yeah, we want to. We're going to cut these legs off, let this bed down so we can get in and out of it. So I got me a handsaw. Brother Gale, them posts were about that big. I said, "Now I'll do this on one condition." They said, "What's that?" I said, "That you don't spread it all over town that the preacher let you down." I got that saw and I cut them things off and I let them down. I was getting ready to leave. My wife worked for Buster Brown making children's clothes. We had 2 children at the time. We had Amanda and Jeremy. And I got ready to leave, and I said, "Granny, pray for us." She had a broken voice. Granny said, "I'm praying your wife will quit that job and stay at home." I mean, I was nice to her. It was just a matter of weeks till we found out Miss Eve was pregnant with our 3rd child. She quit the job and stayed at home. You know what Sarah said? Sarah said, when we was youngins coming up, she said, "If you wanted to do anything, you dare not let Mama find out about it, because she'd go to praying and you wasn't going to get to do it." That's what I'm talking about. How many know somebody like that can get a hold of God? Jesus, if you followed him in his life, there was great power evident in his voice. And what he said with authority, and in his life and what he accomplished. But what some don't understand is that great power came out of that time alone over there on the mountainside with his Father. Here's the thing. I'm ashamed, but you and I have access to the same power. God has not changed one little bit. God wants to pour out his blessings. I'm not talking about some kind of wildfire. I'm talking about holy fire. I'm talking about folks knowing that it's the God of heaven. Amen. The God of heaven that came down and done something for them, for their loved one. Jesus said here, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." By the way, you notice those that put the emphasis on the power to heal, or the power to give your finances a boost, or you notice them, they don't talk much about the soul. I'm going to tell you, the greatest power that will ever be manifested is when a man or a woman falls under Holy Ghost conviction and comes to a place where they understand they need a Savior. Amen. I look back there and it blesses my heart. I wouldn't embarrass him for nothing, but Brother Jim Cable and his wife Marge, I'm going to tell you, we had a visit that day in that hospital room. There was somebody bigger than the preacher that showed up that day and squeezed their heart, and they understood they needed a Savior. Beloved, that's the kind of power we need in our churches. That's the kind of power we need in our homes. That's the kind of power we need in our pulpits. That's the kind of power we need in our Sunday school classes. That power that can only come through prayer. I was thinking this morning, there's a young man, some of you know him, and I know this goes out, but his first name is Jacob. I was thinking this morning, sitting there on the bench, God, you saved him. God saved Jacob. You say, preacher, what's the matter with you? There ain't nothing matter with me. I just realized that I've got a father that's got the power to do whatever needs to be done. I went by the other evening. I don't know how to explain it, but all afternoon, Friday, I just could not get Tim. Carol requested prayer Wednesday night, said he didn't get a good report. There's more spots on his liver. And I went by, and I just wanted to be an encouragement to him and wanted to witness to him. And he was sick. He had eaten, and he didn't feel well. And I'm telling you, he was laying in the bed, and I just almost felt like I was intruding. I'm just very careful and very easy and very polite. After about 20, maybe 30 minutes of just talking a little bit, I said, Tim, I just got to ask you. I said, have you thought any more about trusting Jesus? Oh, glory to God. He raised that head up off his pillow, and he grinned from ear to ear. He said, I got saved at 6:05 Wednesday evening. I said, hallelujah. You know what God can do? God can answer prayer. You know what God can do? God can save a man. I said, Tim, you know, I said, listen, there was a thief on the cross. He had sent for one of the preachers out of his mom's church Wednesday, and he came by. I said, Tim, there was a thief on a cross. I said, he waited till the last minute there, but I said, Jesus didn't condemn him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, Tim grinned. He said, that's what that preacher said Wednesday night. I said, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Power. We gathered in this altar Wednesday night praying. Brother Mitchell needs our prayers. We need somebody to go and get a hold of Jesus. Power. There's the element of peace. There's the element of power. One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas. Often Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance, and though they are clothed with power according to the Word of God, they find themselves out of gas. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Beloved, listen. God wants us to operate in that spiritual realm, in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe with all of my heart there's an element of peace. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry you in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. There's the element of power. He said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, amen, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I don't know about you, but in my life, I feel like I'm lacking in power. I don't know about you, but in our church, I feel like we're lacking in power. You say, preacher, where are we going to get it? There's not but one source. There's not two or three different places you can go and get the power of God. We got to get before the throne, and we got to ask God. You know, the songwriter said it, one of the old-timey songs, Brother Ralph said, oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. A lot of people are afraid because of this movement or that movement. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Baptists were shouting a long time before them movements ever got here. Amen. What a shout of praises of God. It's one thing to sing He lives. It's another thing for a sinner to come through the door back there and know He lives. In this church, in your home, in this pulpit. May God help us. There's an element of peace. There's an element of power. Let me give you one more thing and I'll be done. I actually won't be done. I'll just be getting started. But anyway, I want you to see the element of priority. Look at verse number 4, please, down through verse number 9. This priority in our lives will only come through prayer. How many's figured this out? You let something come between you and your Father. Brother Lance, have you figured this out? Your priorities will get all out of whack. I'm nodding my head up and down with you, Brother Lance. I ain't picking on you. But you let something come between me and Him. You let something get more important, get my attention more. You know what it is? It becomes a little G-O-D. Somebody help me. But you let that happen, and your priorities just get all out of whack. Watch this now. Jesus said in verse 4, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What would it be like to be able to say that to your family? That'd be wonderful. To your spouse, that'd be wonderful. To your church, that'd be wonderful. But what would it be like to be able to say that to the one who really knows? And that's the Savior. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Watch this. He said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You say, preacher, the element of priority. In these verses, here's how God spoke to my heart. In our priorities, we ought to ask this question. Does it bring glory to God? Watch what the Bible said here. There's three things I wanted to show you here. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. The priority in the Christian's life ought to be glory. Not recognition, not prestige, but the priority in our lives ought to be that God gets the glory. Someone said this one time, said if hearts are right with God, it never matters who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. I believe that. But we're living in a world with humans in it. And it doesn't matter if it's the job or if it's the church or if it's the home or what it is. There's competing going on for who gets the credit. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we'd all just realize every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Everything we have, He gave it to us. Actually, He loaned it to us. If you understand it just right, because the Bible said, naked came I into this world and naked I'm leaving out. Amen. Not going to take a thing with me. Watch this. Glory. The priority is glory. I believe there's three ways that are given here that we can glorify God. Number one, finish the work. I'm not saying this in a mean spirit or in a mean way, but I believe we're living in a generation where many of God's people have never even found the work that God wants them to be involved in. I'm not saying that mean. I say that because I love you and because I want you. I don't want you to miss on God's best. But beloved, I'm going to tell you where you can find it. You can find it in a prayer closet. You can find what God wants you to do. And God can give you direction. And you can leave this world saying, God, I finished the work that you gave me to do. You see, Jesus wasn't finishing the work that his disciples gave him to do. He wasn't finishing the work that his mother gave him to do. He was finishing the work that his father. How did he know what that work was? Because he stayed in constant contact. I believe that's what Jesus dreaded about the cross more than anything in this world. The contacts were going to be broken. And he's going to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus had never been through that. He said, the glory which thou gavest me. Number one, in this priority of glory, finish the work. Number two, he said, I have manifested thy name. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. I'm not speaking to any individual. I'm speaking as a whole. This world is full of people that are more interested in manifesting their own name than manifesting his name. And that should never be the case with the child of God. The child of God ought to be in such communion and such touch with heaven and such have such a prayer life that we don't want to honor ourselves, but we want to honor our Savior and bring honor and glory to him. Finish the work, manifested thy name. And then look in verse number 8. He said, I've given them the words which thou gavest me. Listen to me carefully. I don't say this to be funny. It's sad. You can go in a lot of places called a church today in America. This book will never be opened. Brother Larry, I believe there's only one way I can bring glory to him. And that's give our folks the word that he's given me. That's what the Bible said. Jesus knew that it wasn't about emotions, but it was about the word. The word of God will get the job done. The element of priority. I don't know about you this morning, but in my heart, there's a bell ringing. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, Brother Ralph, it is absolutely wonderful when you're singing a congregation and God just gets to move and stirring in your heart. When the choir's singing and God just gets to move and stir and somebody testifies, it's just wonderful. But how many remembers a day in the church where that stirring was going on when they come in the door back there? How many knows what I'm talking about? Honey, they might have been somebody shouting in the vestibule. They might have been somebody winning somebody to Jesus in the vestibule. They might have been somebody out on the parking lot that didn't even make it in for the service. And that was all birthed out of that one-on-one. 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 I believe in praying corporately and praying together. But there's nothing that'll take the place of coming apart just to spend some time. Brother Joe, you've told me about your mommy. There was people that didn't have a washing machine that had to get clothes up in the tub and rub them out on a board, put them over in another tub and rinse them out, bring them out. How many knows what I'm talking about? But seeing no complaining, no fretting, just, oh, listen, if you ever walked up on some of them people, I'm telling you what's the truth, it's a blessing. They didn't have a car. Some of them didn't even have a horse. But they had a Savior. And they had time for Him. I like this. It was said years ago and it stuck in my heart. I'm looking for Brother Brian. There he is. He tries to hide from me these days. I'm used to him sitting over on that end. Brother Brian, they said, we've got more time-saving devices and less time than we've ever had in this world. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, Sunday school lessons I've ever heard in my life is when Brother Brian Odell taught on being overcharged. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can say whatever you want to. If you don't have time to pray, you're overcharged. You're overcharged. You're overcharged. I believe this morning that God just wants to say, by the way, Lord, teach us to pray. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to pray. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar of prayer and say, Lord, save me. You need to come as God stirs in your heart with repentance. You're sorry for your sin and trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today and you know good and well that the God in heaven that loves us sent this message because you've had time for everything under the sun, but you haven't had time to pray. I'm praying that you'll just crawl in this altar and just utter the words, Lord, change it. Teach me to pray. The Bible words were, Lord, teach us to pray. Or Brother Thurman, when it gets personal, teach me to pray. Teach me, Lord. Show me what I'm missing. Some of us wouldn't have to look very far back. We know what we're missing. Somebody say amen. Ain't nothing going to take the place of communion with God. Sister Carol, we can rejoice that Tim got in. Bill and Alan still need to. So we can rejoice on the one hand, but we got to continue to pray on the other hand. How many of you have a loved one that's outside of Christ that doesn't know the Lord? I'm going to tell you something. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us not to give up. Some people have been prayed for 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years before they got saved. Lord, teach us to pray. Father in heaven, I pray this morning You'll forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive me, our Lord. Help me. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as we examine our Lord in John 17, that it would stir in us a spirit of prayer, that we, like the disciples of the Lord Jesus, would come to that place where you'd say, teach us to pray. Lord, I believe if you walked in the doors at Bible Way and spent 5 minutes in the altar and we could hear you talk to your Father, I believe we'd all say the same thing. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I ask you this morning to stir in our hearts. Send the old time power, Lord. I pray. Let's stand to our feet this morning.